Okay, so again, so we're dealing with the stira between Agamara, which says that when you're during laning, you're not allowed to learn, you're not allowed to talk, even during halacha. And you have a story of Shesha, so he used to turn his back and said, I'm learning my thing, they're learning their thing. So it sounds like you could learn Divrei Torah, right? So if you remember, the third Torah, it's in Tosfos, is that Rav Sheshes was Torah Samaso. Okay? Rav Sheshes was Torah Samaso. And therefore, he's Potter. Right? Dafka Rav Sheshes a Kiyotzeba Torah Samaso. Right? He says, well, Idna Karavas Yerlan, we don't hold by that nowadays. I guess, arguably, because we're not Torah Samasos anymore. Okay? So, Torah Samaso. So he's claiming that there's a heter where basically if you're Torah Samaso, you're Potter and Kriyas Torah, similar to if you're blind, you're Potter and Kriyas Torah. Right? Those are the two answers. The second and third answer are saying basically Rosheshus is Potter. No one else is allowed to do that. Right? But Rosheshus is Potter, and therefore he's allowed. Why was he Potter? The first answer is because he's blind, and that whole thing about Pavach, right? That whole thing. And the third answer is saying because Torah Samaso. So what's this whole thing, Torah Samaso? So, it's hard. I didn't find that much sources on it, but in Shabbos Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph, the Gemara says like this: it says Chaverim Shayu Oskim B'Torah. So Chaverim who are learning Torah, Mafsikin LeKriyashma, they have to stop to say Kriyashma, stop learning to say Kriyashma. Ve'Ein Mafsikin LeTefila, and they don't have to stop to daven. And Amar Rabbi Yochanan Lo Shanu El Kigon Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai VeChaverav SheTorasa Onasan. Okay, so it's Rabbi Yochanan saying. This only applies to people like Rosh Hashanah and his friends, who are Torah Samaso. Aval Kigon Anu, but like us, by seeking the Kriyashma Ula Tefila. Right, you have to stop for both. Okay? So basically, the saying is that if you're Torah Samaso, he's saying is you have to stop for Kriyashma, you don't have to stop for Davening. Right? So Rashi says, Chaver Hoskim Torah Mafsikin. Right? Torah and the Kriyashma. Why? Dizmana deraisa v'shachbal of kamecha. Because since it's a Dizmana and the Kriyashma, it's a deraisa. When it comes to time to do Kriyashma, so you have to stop because it's a deraisa. Right? Kriyashma, so are you learning? Well, whatever. It's over Dizmana, I guess, and it's a deraisa. So you have to do Kriyashma, but v'imna seeking the tefillah. But tefillah, I guess what she's saying is a derabanan, at least Dizmana of tefillah. So it's derabanan, so it sounds like he's saying, look, Torah Samna, so you keep learning. Aval Anu, Rashi says, Holo mafsikin Torah seno l'umna seno. Since we stop our learning for our job, comes work time, we stop learning. Kol shekin shenasek l'tefila, certainly we should stop for tefila. Tefila should be at least as important as our job. But a guy who's Torah seno l'umna, basically he doesn't stop his learning for anything. Right? So if he doesn't stop his learning for anything, so then he's not going to stop it for tefila. Right? So it seems like it's a separate thing in tefillah that a Torah Samaso doesn't have to stop for a daven, right? Good question. Now somehow Tosfos is extending this to Kriyas HaTorah, right? To Kriyas HaTorah. Now you could say, I guess you could argue, since it's also Darabanan, maybe it also applies. I mean, here's a Rambam, for example. He says, he brings it in Allah. Mishah yo'osei b'talmud Torah v'giyaz man tefillah posseg ha'mesbal hit's stav and navin v'imah yatar sem raso v'ino osa malacha klal. You don't do any malacha v'ha yo'osei b'torah b'shas tefillah, and you're busy learning and time tefillah comes eino posseg sh'mitzas talmud Torah g'dol ha'mitzas tefillah, right? To greater mitzvah. But it's only if you're Torah sem raso. I guess otherwise you say, look, learn later, daven now, learn later. But Torah Samaso, what do you mean learn later? I am learning later. I'm learning now also. I always learn. You can't say learn later, so saying it's the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it takes precedence. Right? But it seems to me that it's a chiddush. Right? It's a chiddush to extend this to Kriyas HaTorah. Especially because Kriyas HaTorah is learning. So you're saying, look, he's busy learning Torah. So, fine. So is the tzibur. So is the Zimur, right? So what's this idea of extending the Ptor, which seems to be a Ptor of Talmud Torah, of Tefillah, to Kriyas HaTorah? arguably, this is the machlokas between the third answer versus everybody else, right? Presumably, the other answers aren't going to hold to us unless it's going to help you, right? They're not going for that. They're saying sumo, whatever. It's different arguments, right? Okay. Yeah, if you recall, what we did is the original takana, right, was not really a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. If you remember, we had this whole thing, but basically the question is, why is the Rambam included in Hilchos Tefillah? He doesn't include it in Hilchos Talmud Torah, right? Leaning. So, we wanted to say more than just because you do it during davening. What we wanted to say is that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is really Mesorah. Mechayev is Lomud Olamid, to pass down the body of the Torah of Mesorah. But, that's fine, that's true. But some people aren't doing that. Some people are working, some people are whatever, and they're not involved in Mesorah. But for them, when they went, the Lord based on Moshe Rabbeinu, the whole story in the Midbar, they went 3 days without water, without Torah, and they were complaining. So he said that it's not good for a person to be removed from Torah. So even if you're not involved in Mesorah and Talmud Torah, you're not Talmud Chacham, but if you're a plain person, Talmud Torah, it makes you, gives you contact with the world of ideas, with the world of Torah, with the world of ideas of Hashem. It engages you in a reality beyond the self. And that keeps you grounded, prevents you from complaining, prevents you from overvaluing your own small-minded needs. So it's like there's a benefit of Torah on the personality, that it gives him a greater perspective. It removes him from his own egocentricism and allows him to make contact with the world beyond the self, where he's just a small part of a big world of ideas. And without that, it was harmful to people. You're too rooted in your own personal needs. You start complaining. You overvalue your own needs, and the whole world falls because you don't have water, because you have needs. So the takana of Moshe Rabbeinu of Kriyas HaTorah was set up not for Talmidei Chacham don't need to hear it, leaning through 10 psukim a week or whatever, that a few times a week. They're learning Torah all day long anyway, a lot often. But the takana was for the Am, that we don't go at all 3 days without learning. So it's not set up as a really mitzvah of learning. The mitzvah of learning is in Hilchos Talmud Torah. It's part of your Seder HaTfilah, that daily a person has to approach God and ask for his requests. But daily, or a few times a week, every 3 days, he has to forget about the self. Davening is still rooted in the self, but here and there you have to go beyond the self and simply involve yourself minimally in Talmud Torah. Right? So it's true, it's learning, but it's not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's really, in a certain sense, more akin to like your daily Seder Avodah. Right? Now, arguably, a Talmud Chacham, Zorosu Nasa guy, is not in need of that, because he's involved in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah of Mesorah. Right? The real Talmud Torah. He's not just hearing Torah Shul Chasav, 3 Psakim, 10 Psakim. See, if you look at leaning as like mitzvah of Talmud Torah, then you say, how do you tell me Torah Shul Chasav is part of Talmud Torah? It is Talmud Torah. But if you say that, no, it's true, the Maisa is a Maisa of Talmud Torah. True. Reading Psakim. But the Machayev, the very nature of the institution is not quite B'toras Talmud Torah, B'toras the objective of Talmud Torah of Mesorah. It's simply B'toras affecting the Gavra of engaging him in basic Talmud Torah. And that, you could argue, is for a plan. Patel Soros Amnasa was in Shaykh to having that Sorah. He's already in that Parsha. So you could say, just like he doesn't have to daven, he doesn't have to stop to do the basic Seder Avodah of normal people. He's involved in Torah all the time. Tefillah is saying, it's like Tefillah is like engaging in your needs and directing them towards Hashem. But you're engaged in your needs are Torah. You're involved in the world of ideas of Torah. You're already in that world. You're not in your needs. The guy who's doing Amnasa, who's in his Amnas, he's in the world of the particulars. He's in the world of his needs. And he's trying to attain his needs. Now, okay, stop trying to attain your needs through labor, attaining your needs through turning to Hashem. But a guy who's Doros and Rosso, he's not involved in that world of seeking out his needs. He's in the world of ideas. So you tell him to go down from the world of ideas to be able to ask Hashem for your needs. You're not, you're totally immersed in Torah. You don't worry about these things. I don't know, how do you get food? I don't know, not sure. Whatever, but you're just totally involved in the world of ideas themselves. So the thing is, you don't have to now go down towards, you don't spend your time, attending to your, working out how you're going to accomplish your needs. So the thing is, you could argue that laning is comes under that rubric of a person's needs to put him in a proper mindset. It's like a tefillah type of a need. He's engaged in a much higher plane. On the other hand, you could see arguing, look, bottom line is, it's not tefillah. It's true, it's akin to tefillah, and it's incorporated into the state of tefillah, but it is Talmud Torah. Bottom line is, it's a mice of Talmud Torah. And you could say that the Torah of Torah Shmonasa doesn't apply on Talmud Torah, on Kriyas Torah. You know, it's like the action is a mice of Talmud Torah, but its kiyum is more like the effect on the Gavra and putting him in a proper perspective. So the Torah Shmonasa doesn't need that effect. He's mufkar from that effect. But on the other hand, insofar as the Maisa is concerned, you could argue you can't bother. And so I think we're learning that all these answers in Tosfos, all the answers in Tosfos, if I recall, are holding that in terms of the Bizayon, it's not a Bizayon because he's learning. But the problem is, what about the Chova of the Tzibor? Right? What about the Chova of the Tzibor? You're in the Tzibor and they're doing learning, so how do you extra remove yourself from that Chova? So the first answer was you turn your back and you remove yourself from the Chova. You're not part of them. Second and third answer saying is no, he wasn't a Chayav because he was a Suma, because he's a Torah Nasa. But in terms of the Bizayon, I think he's learning that. I think you'll have to say Tosis is learning, it's not a Bizayon because he's involved in learning. So if he was doing other stuff, it would be one thing, but Anan was doing a Bizayon. The Bizayon is a Bizayon of Torah, so I'm involved in Torah, so it's not going to be a Bizayon. I think that's what you say for Tosis. Because Tosis never quite addressed the Bizayon issue. Now that's the problem, Tosis has to explain, according to both the second and the third answer, why does he have to turn his face? See, according to the first answer, you need to turn your face because that's what got you out of the Chova of the Tzibor, because you break from the Tzibor by turning your face. Right? Which, arguably, anyone could have done. But according to the second and third answer, no, turning your face doesn't get you out of it. Bottom line is, you're there. And if you're there, you're under their chova. Right? Unless you're not in the room or something, but if you're there under their chova, it's only Rav Sheshes because either he was blind or he saw some nasa. So therefore, he wasn't chayiv altogether. Right? Oh, so now the kasha becomes like, so then why did he turn his face? Right? Why did he turn his face, according to the second and third answer? Right? It's like turning your face doesn't get you out of it. If you're not Rav Sheshes, you can't get out of it turning your face because you're bound up with the tzibor. So the only reason he was out of it is because he was potter, like Amri. So then why turn his face? So Tosa says, it's not normal, or it's not appropriate, to be involved in Dvar Halacha in front of the tzibor, while they are involved in Shmias HaTorah. What does he mean exactly? It's not orcha demilsa. It's like a little funny phraseology, you know? It's not proper to do that, to just sit there while they're learning, while they're listening, you're just doing your own thing. So rather turn your back. That's what I'll be saying. It's like if you're in the tzibor, you're with them, you're sitting there, they're all sitting listening to Lainan, doing their chova, and you're also sitting with them, and you're just saying, no, I'm not interested. I'm sitting with you, like everyone else, but I'm ignoring you. I'm doing my own thing. So that's not like, it's not a proper kavod to the tzibor, it's not orcha demilsa. It's like you're then saying to the tzibor, I don't care about what you're doing. I'm with you. I'm sitting with you, and I'm saying, I don't care about what you're doing. I'm doing my own thing. I'm potter. Right? As opposed to, if I turn my back, I recognize, look, you guys are doing your thing, and look, I'm not chayav, so I'm stepping away, I'm turning away, I'm not like acting as if I'm one of you, but then ignoring you what you're doing. That's like it's a gedai, or it's lacking in kavod of a group of people. They're all sitting there doing this thing, trying to pay attention, or taking this seriously, taking important, and you're amongst them, like one of them, and just ignoring them, doing something else. So if you make a statement, listen, I'm a potter, I'm not one of you, I turn my back, I realize you guys are doing your thing, I'm doing my thing, we're doing two different things, that's fine. But don't sit and act, present yourself as someone who's with them, and then snub them and don't listen. What are you here for? Then don't be here. Why are you here? Turn away. Right? So it sounds like Orchid the Milsa sounds like it's not a technical isser as much as it's like not covered a tzibor. Not appropriate. It would be like you go into a lecture hall. You go to talk, you go to lecture, There's a guy doing a lecture, and you just go in and you sit there, and you like just start writing, doing some work. Open up your laptop and start playing a game, you know, or start writing your notes or doing whatever it is. It's like, what are you there for? Who asked you to be here? You don't have to be here. You want to go on the side. Like, you understand, like, if you're there, and then you're in the main seats, and you go off to the side, and you don't think, fine. Look, you're in the room. I don't know if you have to leave the room. But don't be sitting there as if you're someone who's in there, and then you're, like, stating, I don't care. You're basically, like, saying, I don't care about your thing. Like, because you're sitting there, and now you're just, like, saying, is it, like, you're not interested? So that's, like, a lack of... Now, it could be, it doesn't mean it's the Isser of Kavodah Torah, because you're learning Torah. That's why I think it means Orchot Milsa, because otherwise, if he meant... So I was thinking, maybe he means the Kavodah Torah thing. Bizayin Torah, but it's not. I don't know, I feel like he should say that, and it's not. It seems like it's not Orcha de Milsa isn't Bizayin Torah or Kavodah Torah. I feel is a real Isser, but Orcha de Milsa. It seems like while they're doing it, it's like talking about in terms of the Kavodah Tzibur. So it's not an Isser, but it's not Orcha de Milsa. So they did it. Or Sheshes was sensitive to that, right? It's a reality that's disruptive to the activity which the group is involved in. If you're sitting and presenting yourself as part of the group and they're chayiv to do it, and they're doing it, and they're taking it seriously, and you're just sitting there like one of them and doing something else, that's disrupting the tzibur. It's not appropriate to do that to a group of people. They're taking this seriously and it's distracting them. You're saying, I don't care about this. But if you go up to the side, fine. You don't have to leave the room as long as you don't do that. It sounds like that. I mean, it's not an ordinary type of a svara, but it's not an ordinary type of description. Orcha de Milsa doesn't sound like a technical halachic issur. It sounds like it's just not proper. It's not normal. It's not the proper way of the world. It's not the way to act. It's like not proper midos. It's like a midos problem. It's a midos towards other people. That's why Tosis is talking. Right? Okay, so it's brachos as a parallel Tosis, because the Gemara, again, Arik's Gemara is a stira between our Gemara and Sota. And the Gemara in Brachos on Chasam and Aleph. So Tosos on Chasam and Aleph takes up the issue, and he has a little bit of a different take. Okay, a little bit of a different take. So it says like this: the top Tosos, Rav Sheshes Mahadar Ape Vigars. So this is our thing, right? Rav Sheshes turned his face and learned. So Tosos in Tomar Hamrinan Besota Maidichse VeKapischa Amdu Kalam. What does the pasuk mean? When they opened the Torah, the whole nation stood. Kivan sheniftach sefer Torah, asur l'saper, fil dvar halacha. That once the Torah opens, you're not allowed to speak, even dvar halacha. You have to be omed, which means to be silent. Right? So it sounds like even the fil dvar halacha, but yet Rosh Hashanah is doing dvar halacha. Yesh lomar hasam airi bekol ram. So when it says it's asur to talk during laning, it's talking about loud. Okay, loudly. So you don't distract, you know, the sound of the Kriyas Torah, right? But here, he's quiet, right? So the whole Isser is only if you're being disruptive, he's learning, right? Okay, so let's a little further. Okay, so then why does he have to turn his face? Right? If you tell me he's just doing quietly, why turn his face? Mashma afalgav the. I'm sorry, Rabusa mashma. It's teaching you a chedesh. Right? The afilu, or afalgav the mahadar ape, shenira kaminiyav sefer Torah, even though he's turning his face and it looks. It's funny, it's like the opposite. It looks like he's abandoning the Torah. Shaber dummy. Right? It's still okay. It's not a problem. Don't think that you're not allowed to turn your face because turning your face is a bizayon. No, it's not true. Right? So why did he turn his face then? If you're telling me, don't think it's a bizayon. No, it's okay. He's allowed to. Okay, well, why do I do it then? So he says, "Kedei shechaving yourself so serial tepeta have kavana." It's distracting for him. He's trying to learn, and he's sitting there in the middle of the shul or whatever. It's hard for him to learn. So what? Practical. So he turned his face, helped him have kavana, helped him be able to focus on his learning. I focus on his learning, yeah, but it might be a vizayon. So I said, no, he's turned his face, and that's okay. It's not a vizayon. Don't think it's a vizayon. It's funny how previously other toes that sound like turning your face helps somehow. It makes it less a vizayon. Right? Shows like I'm not part of you. I'm not just ignoring you, I'm not part of you. But here it's almost like you have a havamina that you wouldn't be allowed to do that. Let's finish the Tosfos and then we'll analyze it, okay? They said, Rav Alfa's Kasav de Hag Mefarshi Dafka Sheisham Asar Achrini, Az Yachal Omar. So you can only learn if you have 10 other people, because there has to be a minion. Or someone mentioned this last week, but says if, you, if you're one of the 10 guys, you can't do that, because it's a Kriyas of the Tzibor. So you can't just say I'm doing something else. Yeah, but now you're going to undermine the Tzibor. So if there's a Tzibor, then you can't do this. You're not allowed to learn. If you're one of the 10. If you're one of the 10, it's saying you can't learn. But if there's not 10 people, but with you, then it's Asar. Yeah, I will. So it sounds so far at this point, it seems at this point that it's just Tam, according to this way of learning Tosis. I don't think everyone else is learning that way, but Imamish, you could just learn in the middle of the day. Right? If you want. Right? If you want, as long as you make sure there's 10 other people, and as long as you don't do it loud. Right? Below, so must be in case of Rosh Hashanah, there were 10 other people. Right? The old tirats are fasi shiny Rosh Hashanah to Asim Raso. Kanan, Mistabra, Lanki, Hai, Kehai, Tiratza.
Which one?
No, because of. Sounds like, because of. Anan, Mistabra. Sounds like maybe he's quoting the ref. He likes that answer of the Torah Sim Raso, it sounds like.
Well, that's the only one that
says. As opposed to, it sounds like he's saying, as opposed to, so they say in the slide. So the loka the hag doesn't like the Bahag's answer. That basically, as long as you're quiet, then you could just do it. That's what Bahag's saying. As long as there's 10 other people and you're quiet, you could do it. Sounds like the ref is saying is no. It's only because Torah Sim Raso. But for us, we're not Torah Sim Raso, therefore we can't do it. Right? But it sounds like, again, the Bahag, or I guess the first answer in Tosfos is learning. And no. That as long as you learn quietly, there's no issue. Right? It's just a matter of you can't disrupt them. I mean, it's funny. It sounds like it's in the conditional about the Kol Kriyas Torah. But I mean, the limud was, Kepischa Amdu Kal Ha'am. Right? When it opens it, everyone's listening. Everyone's quiet. And that's that you could say. Because the problem is, the Gemara saw that two answers, two psukim. One was everyone's quiet. When he opens, everyone's quiet. That you could say so you don't distract. But the other pasuk was Yaznei Kalam El Sefer, something like that. They're all listening, which seemed to indicate that you have to actually be listening. So for that, it's very nice you're not distracting. But what about the listening? Right? What about the fact that they're doing Kriyas Torah and you're with them and you should be listening? This is it. So Johnny's saying that Tzibor is learning, they're involved in learning, and you're just disregarding the fact that the Tzibor is learning. If you want to learn on your own, fine, as long as you make sure there's a Tzibor. You can't undermine the Tzibor. Tzibor is a chov on the Tzibor. Tzibor is doing it. You can't stop them from doing it. So as long as there's 10 people, so you could say, look, they're doing learning. I'm also doing learning. That's what Rosh said. I knew what to do, and I've done we're learning. I'm learning also. But you can't disrupt their learning. If you talk loud, see, their learning is a loud learning. And the way they're all involved in learning is by listening. We have one learner, one reader, and everyone else is listening. So you can't, the way in which their learning works is because they're silenced. So given that you're, right, except for the one guy who's learning, once you start talking, then you undermine their ability, ignoring the fact that they're all trying to listen. So that's like undermining, you don't have a right to learn, you don't have to, you're not chayiv to participate with the tzibor, but you don't have a right to undermine what they're doing. And by talking out loud, you're disrupting them. So even if technically they could hear it, that's like a denial of the activity of the tzibor. Right? It's interesting, like according to everyone else, Tosos in the first bias, the tzibor is doing it, you're really chayiv to participate. If you're there, you're chayiv to participate. Unless you have an excuse, unless you're a sheshes, you know, all these things. According to this Tosfos, you're not really chayv to participate, you just can't disrupt them. You have to acknowledge that there is a tzibor learning, and there's a chashivas of the tzibor learning. You can't just say, I'm more important than the tzibor. I know they want to learn, but I also want to learn. No, they're a tzibor. You could learn on your own if you don't disrupt them, but you don't have a right to be in the makam of the tzibor and to disrupt the tzibor. Right there, arguably, because the tzibor takes precedence over the yachid, so you could be a yachid, kol hakavod. You're not chayiv to join, according to this tosis. You don't need an excuse to not join, but you can't disrupt them. You can't undermine their activity. You can't in any way take away. Right? can't take away from it. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't mean necessarily someone's not going to hear, but simply talking, the way a speaker works is that there's silence. Right? It would be like a teacher's or a lecture, someone starts talking. Everyone's trying to listen. The way these things work is that there's silence. That's how you focus, and that's how you pay attention. You're able to speak. If you want to do your own thing, that's fine. But just don't disrupt them. Right? Okay. But turning your back. So what's he saying now? Then he's saying, but you might think you can't turn your back. Right? I guess because maybe that you'd say would also disrupt them. Right?
Not turn your back?
You might think. That's the way Tosafot is learning. You might say, you're not allowed to turn your back. It's nira kamin yach sefer Torah. He's saying, no, it's not a problem. Why is it telling us he turned the back? So it says, it's saying is, even though he turned his back, then it looks like he's abandoning the sefer Torah. It's okay. And why did he turn his back? Because he wanted to help him focus. So the Havamina here is that turning your back is like you're turning away from the Torah. They're learning Torah. And you're turning your back. But the Maskana is, Rafi, you're saying that, yeah, but you're learning Torah. So what's the Bizayon? It's not a Bizayon of Parshas Vayikra. It's a Bizayon of Torah. So since you're turning your back in order to enable you to focus on learning Torah, so that's not a Bizayon of Torah. Right? It's like, it's a bizayon. You could argue it's like a bizayon of the particular action of learning you're turning away from. So you might say, like, you're not allowed to turn away, turn your back on learning. But it's saying is, no, that it's not like a maisa iser. It's a you can't cast a bad light on Torah. And here, since you're turning for Torah, it's okay. Right? Good question. It's not clear. Let's say you're turning your back. It didn't help you concentrate. But you're turning your back and learning Mishnah Berurah, right? But you could just as well do it whether it is or isn't. Is specifically the heter because you're trying to learn Mishnah Berurah and you can't do it that way, and therefore it's okay to turn your back because it's a function of your commitment to Torah. Or do you just say, look, it doesn't matter. The point is you got a thing. You're turning your back. It's clear that's what you're doing. Arguably, look, who knows in your head whether you could or you can't? I'd say the way it looks is basically you have a book. There is. It could be like this. There is such a thing as a person who can't focus unless you turn away. So the observer won't interpret it as saying, "Is I don't care about learning. I don't care about Torah." He'll interpret it as you're trying to focus on your thing. But if there was no such thing as a person who needed to turn away in order to focus, then how is the observer supposed to look at it? It's true, you learn Mishnah Berurah, but why are you turning your back? Why do you have to learn? Why do you turn your back in order to learn Mishnah Berurah? So that's like a bizarre. It's like, Mishnah Berurah, I don't want to be looking at Torah. Why do you want to be looking at Torah? Just because you're learning Mishnah Berurah, why does that mean you have to turn away? But arguably, since that is a phenomenon, is that it's hard to focus on something when, you know, while on your thing, while something else is going on. Therefore, it's not, for an observer, it's not a bizayim. Because you got Torah. But arguably, you wouldn't be able to turn your back and do something else. That would be a bizayim. Take out your math book and turn your back and do math. Right? Or, you know, maybe like search the internet, you know, play on your phone, you know, play a video game or something like that. Right? Arguably that you wouldn't be able to do. Saying it's here because it's you doing Torah. Right? And it's you're doing it in order to focus on Torah. So again, the chiddush of this Tosus though is that even though you're in the tzibor, there's no chova on you to be part of their learning. And you don't need any excuse, really. As long as you don't disrupt them, you don't need an excuse to just engage in your own matam limud of as yachad. Right? Maybe, whether or not you have to hear laning somewhere else, that's a different question. Are you obligated in laning, or is that a personal obligation? But essentially, being in the tzibor does not obligate you to partake of their activity. Whereas the other Tosus was holding, by being with the tzibor, that it's a chova of the tzibor. You're in the tzibor, so you're chayev to be involved in their activity, unless you have some way to extricate yourself. So if you turn your back, then you can extricate yourself according to the first shot. Second, third shot, don't buy that. Turning back doesn't help you. Bottom line is you're with the tzibor, you're bound up by the chova. And the only excuse is if you're a sumo, if you're Torah Samnasa. Right? So maybe that's when he brings the Torah Samnasa at the end of Tos, he brings in the riff. It seems like maybe that's where he's going, leaning back towards the Tosas and Sota. that this hole only works if you throw something else, if you're really potter. Seems like that's, but that's the way he kind of ends this Tosas also with that. You know, but it seems like in this Tosas he's kind of the Sufa. That whether that's the Suffolk, which is the Machlokas between, you know, the other Tosas, clearly. That are you, the Tosas there, are you bound up by the Chovo? Since it's a Chovo of the Tzibor, and you're in the Tzibor, does that Mechayev you to be involved in their activity without some other, without some exemption? Tosas there was holding yes. Tosas here is holding no. As long as you don't disrupt them, you're okay. Don't do it, but call Ram. To clarify, I'm saying is at the end of Tosas here, which says, or in Chabrachos, which says, maybe it's only Tosam Naso, is rejecting the beginning of Tosas. Saying the beginning of Tosas was holding that everybody has a right to just be on their own and to cut off from the Tzibor as long as there are 10. That's what the Hag is saying. As long as there are 10 people, you can just go off on your own. This is the second man shot in Tosas saying, no, it only works Tosam Naso, which means you can't. You really, in general, everyone who's not Tosam Naso is chayav to be part of the Tzibor. Like the Tosas by us in Sota. Right? So that's why I think when we notice that Tosas and Brachas and Tosas and Sota are in different paths altogether, it's not really Tosas and Brachas, it's the first part of Tosas and Brachas. It's within the Tosas and Brachas itself, he's Mesopak. So that's why maybe it's even better. It's not like they're totally diametrically opposed. It's the Tosas and Brachas has two kind of ways of learning. Tosas and Sota is expanding upon the whole approach of the second half, you know, of Tosas and Brachas. It's a more expansive version of it. It's only, you know, as the Summa, it has the other one turning your back. It's, you know. It's interesting, because if you say that you're bound up by the Tzibor, right, like over there, you're bound up by the Chova, then turning your back arguably will help you, because it will help extricate you from the Chova, right? Because you're Chayev, to be part of them if you're with them. So turning your back kind of could help Ma'akev. It's like a gesture that I don't want to be part of them. So that could help you. But according to Tosas here, you're not bound up by anything. So now you could just do your own thing. So now why are you turning your back? So if anything, turning your back is a bizayon. Right? Because what's the function of turning your back? See, there, if you held that you're bound up, then turning your back could be a mechanism to remove yourself. Right? A mechanism to remove yourself. Or even over there, that you don't want to be in... The truth is, according to the final shot over there in Tosus, remember, it's not Ochad Nemilsa? It's like not appropriate to be doing it, so therefore you turn your back. That seemed to be saying it's a good idea to turn your back. Here, it almost sounds like Tosus is learning it's not so good. It's like a little bit of saying, I don't care about what you're doing, but it's okay because you're doing it to focus. I mean, that's interesting. You know, it's interesting. Is turning your back better or worse? In some sense, you could say it's worse. Because you're like abandoning them. On the other hand, you can say it's better. Like once you're doing something else, then don't sit here and pretend like you're part of us. You know, and back off. And it's kind of interesting, like having different, you know, different ways of looking at that. So the Rambam Paskins, he says, okay, you can't just look like this b'tora. Once they start leaning, asur l'saper, feel dvar halacha. You can't speak even dvar halacha. Ela kol shoskim v'shomim v'simin leiv l'mashu kore. Everyone has to be quiet and listen. And pay attention to that which he's reading. Right, a lot of people know this. You know, leaning isn't spacing out time. It sounds like you have to be listening, quiet, listening, paying attention. Right? V'shenemar v'oz nikala mosef haTorah v'aser lotzis min hatzibur b'shasha kori kori. You're not allowed to walk out in the middle. U'mutar lotzis bein yishlesh. You're allowed to walk out in between aliyos. That's another sugya. Okay, then he says, U'misha yosu b'torah tamid v'torah se'um naso. So he's learning, like, I guess the riff, like that answer. Torah Sama Nazo. Motu lo lasa gutama Torah v'shasha kore kore v'torah. Then it's Motu. So he's learning that answer, that you could just do your own thing.
Could you walk out?
I don't know. Maybe not, because walking out is a different thing. Ozve Hashem yechlu. It's a possibility of leaving Hashem or leaving the Torah behind. But you're allowed to be involved. It could be he's learning. Look, you're putter from there learning. You could do your own learning. You're a different level, a different type of learning. So this is basically, as far as I could see, the end of this sugya. But I think I'd like to do next, unless we do Pesach stuff, but we're done with this whole thing. We're going to go to continue Kriyas Torah to Megillah Chaf Aleph. Most of the sugyas in Kriyas Torah, as far as I can tell, are in Megillah Chaf Aleph and not in that parak. And it's the third parak, sometimes the fourth parak. I think in Irish it's the third parak. So it's basically about how many aliyahs on different days, all different aliyahs, things like that. Different what laning is on different days, how many aliyahs, how many people, all that kind of stuff. It goes for a few daf with like jumping in and out in different sugyas. So I'm going to try to do is to work through that parak, the relevant sugyas. You know, not the parak as a whole, but the ones which are relevant to the structure of basically, you know, Kriya Torah. Okay, but it's possible I'm going to do some Pesach stuff. I don't know, I'll say. Okay, but that's Megillah Chaf Aleph, Mud Aleph. Okay?